number 236. 236. Dismissed for Junior Church.
All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7 and look at verse 13. When you find your place, please stand. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. If you're able, please stand. If you're not, then that's fine. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13. All right, you follow along as I read these two verses this morning. Verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and a few there be that find it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for the health that you give to us, the strength. We thank you for your love that guides us and directs us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross, that all men can have a relationship and be redeemed to you. We pray this morning that as we look in your word in these two verses and other verses, that you would continue to show us and guide us. Help us to realize the world around us, and also realize that as pilgrims passing through, we have a different home for those that are saved. And Father, I pray today, if there's somebody here that's never put their faith and trust in you, that they too would choose the narrow path. Now, Father, have your way, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, Jesus is not really just giving us a choice between two gates, but it's a choice between two distinct directions that lead to two distinct destinies. And these two verses, as short as they are, there, what the Bible teaches us throughout, of course, Jesus, it's about God, it's about Jesus. But the fact is it's about these two ways that humans choose. And every person is going to choose one of these ways. Some people choose a way by default. In other words, if you don't choose Jesus, you choose the other way by default. And we all have to make decisions. We all have to make choices in our lives. And we want to make choices that are wise. And of course, for Christians, the choices that we make are filtered through the Word of God that help us and guide us in the direction that God wants us to make. You know, God warned in Ecclesiastes 12:1 through Solomon, he says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And it's always about the road of life or the way of life. And this morning, as we look at these two verses, the message is entitled, "Which gate will you choose, the wide gate or the narrow gate?" And this morning, I hope, and it's my prayer, that everybody in this room has already made that decision and has chosen the narrow gate and not the wide gate. And I pray that through that decision, you are growing and learning and finding out more about that narrow gate, because there are some things that the Word of God teaches us about that. But the fact is, this morning, you need to understand that the majority chooses the wide gate. And the Bible teaches us right here. Jesus is saying this very thing. And first off, he says, "Enter ye in the straight gate," okay? And why is that? Because the straight gate is the narrow gate. He said, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat." So a lot of folks are going to choose this. Why would they choose this gate? Why would they choose this wide path? Well, the first thing this morning I want to think about is the fear of man. Many people make a choice based on the pressures around them. Maybe it's a family, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's just a friend. But we choose a lot of decisions we make, we choose based on the fact that somebody else is kind of leading us to that choice. And we've all been in that situation. Every one of us could probably think of a time when we were part of a group of two or three people or whatever, and we kind of went along for the ride, or maybe we were the leader of the pack, I don't know. And we led other people. And we did those things because of the fear of men. So many people make decisions because they're afraid of what somebody else might think. And Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." And that's what we want in our lives, is that safety. We want to know that we're walking in the right steps and we're not being misguided by somebody else's opinion or thought or way, but we're actually looking to the Lord and finding out what He says. And many people will not do that. See, peer pressure is not fitting in. If you have peer pressure on you, it's because someone is trying to conform you to their ideas. Peer pressure leads often that we have to reject the friends and associates if we want to get out from under it. Jesus gave a command in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, 12. Says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And today, we know that many people are trying to guide us and direct us. There are tons of people on this earth and that just don't have a whole lot of thoughts about a lot of things. I don't know if you've ever watched any of those little programs, maybe on YouTube or something, where someone goes out and asks usually college students questions. You know, these people that got 3 years, 4 years in college, and they ask them questions, you know, simple stuff like, who was the first president, or, you know, who discovered America, you know, just all kinds of things like that. And a lot of these people don't know any of that. They go out and ask about the politics of the day, and they share the agenda, and they kind of maybe mislead them, though, and say, "Well, if Obama, he says this, and this is good, would you agree with it?" "Oh, yeah. Well, he didn't say that. That was what Trump said." "Oh, well, we don't agree with that." So it's funny how people can be misled and misguided so easily. And it's the same for us. Even as Christians, we sometimes find ourselves being misguided by someone else in the way they think or what they believe. A lot of times it's because of the false teachers. And look at verse 15 in our passage of chapter 7. It says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And this is a warning that Jesus has given to us, that we can see what a person believes or how he lives based on his testimony. If that person is not someone who is seeking the Lord and trying to follow God, for us who are on a narrow path, that's a warning for us not to step off that narrow path, because we will end up on the wide path or going the way of destruction. Why? Because they're false teachers and they're going to try to mislead us and misguide us. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 and 2 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways," that is destructive ways, "by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." So fear of man, if we're not careful, it will misguide us, it will misdirect us, it will lead us into a wrong path. And the excuse will never be able to stand before the Lord and say, "Well, everybody else was doing it." Because remember, not everybody is. There are people who are sincere and walking with God, as you are here in this room. So not everybody's doing it. And not everybody's living that way. So a lot of people will choose the way of death because of the peer pressure. But also a lot of people will choose, or the fear of man, a lot of people will also choose because the fun of sin. You know, sin has pleasure in it. We all have experienced sin, have we not? We don't even have to answer that, do we? Because we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there are some things that that sin brings us pleasure. But these only last for a season. They're very short-lived. And we all have to choose between the temporary pleasures of evil or the temporary sufferings for Christ. You say temporary? Yeah. As long as we're on this earth and we're walking the narrow way, there may be sufferings. There will be sufferings as we live for Christ. Just like the verse we shared in Romans chapter 8, verse 18 today, where it talks about, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which," what's the last part? Say it again, please. "Which shall be revealed in us." Thank you. Well, my brain just slides out. Anyway, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hold your place here. We're talking about this morning the two ways, the two choices. In Hebrews chapter 11, these people, and this is the faith chapter, many of you know that, these people all had to make choices. They didn't always make the right choice, but as they are listed in this chapter, they were people who believed God. And Abraham was one that we know in Genesis chapter 15, verse, I think it's 16, it says he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And it was by his faith that God counted him to be someone who was a believer. It's the same way for everybody today. It's by our faith in God. In our situation, we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and when we have faith in God's plan, we too can have that relationship. But in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 24. So Abraham, Moses. I don't know why I'm thinking Abraham, but Moses. Moses in chapter 11, verse 24 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." So here was Moses, and he chose to suffer with the children of Israel than to be in the high court of the Pharaoh. It was a choice he made. And the fact is that we have to make those choices as well. What do we want in our lives? Do we want to please God, or do we want to please man, or do we want to please ourselves? Which one comes first in our lives? That will determine on which path we are on, whether the narrow path or the wide path. And we get to choose that. And of course, sin always begins with our desire, which leads to disobedience. Because if a man looks on a woman and lusts after her, he's already committed sin, according to what Jesus said, which goes farther than what the Ten Commandments said. And so that's interesting. 1 John 2:16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." This is the very thing that caused, or that Adam and Eve fell into, was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so as we think about that, what is the lust of the flesh? Turn to Galatians, if you would, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, Paul describes this here a little bit for us so we can have understanding about what this is, the lust of the flesh. And of course, the flesh is it's the idea of our human nature. It's the flesh that we have on our bodies. It's living at the nature that we have, the lust of the flesh. The animal world lives out the lust of the flesh. They go after what they want. And we who are intelligent, much more than animals, and we didn't come from animals, by the way, if you didn't know that. But God created us in the image of himself, and he gave us a mind to think and to act and be different. And he gave us a conscience, and he gave us a spirit, a man's spirit, and he gave us this body to live in. But anyway, the lust of the flesh. That word lust is the Greek word epitumia, and it means longing. So lust is longing. It comes from the root epitumio, and it means to set your heart upon. That's what lust is. Have you ever experienced that? Well, you know you have. I have. And there are times in my life when, for instance, there was a vehicle that I saw, and I've mentioned this many times, but it was I don't remember what year it was, but it was a Ford F-150. It was a green one. And I'd see it driving to school, and I remember thinking, boy, I really want that. I really want that. And my heart was kind of set upon it. You know how it is when you buy a vehicle or do anything like that, you get your heart set upon a certain thing. Like when it comes to motorcycles, I don't ever look at Suzuki's. I never look at BMWs. I never look at, what are the other brands, Kawasaki's. Never, ever. Always look at Hondas. I don't know why. My heart's set on a Honda because I've had them all my life and since I was 15. And so it's kind of like that thought. That's the lust of the flesh that drives us to those things. And Paul gives us a list here in Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse, if you will, 19. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." That word manifest means revealed or declared. It says, which are these? These are the lust of the flesh: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the wide path. This we can know. We can just check that list off and look at that list. And if we're living in those kind of conditions, then we're walking on the wide path. If we're committing adultery, if we're committing fornication, if we're living a life of uncleanliness, lasciviousness, that lustful appetite, if we're idolatry, can Christians be idolaters? Sure they can. And it just takes... what takes the most of your time? What is the most important thing in your life? What is Lord over your life today? Well, God is Lord over my life today. So then you look at the time, and that's where you find out who has got more of your time. That's what... now, I'm not saying, well, I got to go to work for 8 hours or 15 hours. I'm not saying because you have to work 15 hours. But what do you think about in your mind when you're at work? Do you ever think and look to the Lord? Do you ever think about the Lord? Do you pray to the Lord? Do you have the Word of God in your heart and mind that as you are about in those situations that you think about those that are lost? See, it's a mindset. It's where your heart is. It's not necessarily spending 15 hours in prayer or 15 hours reading your Bible. If anybody can do that, please raise your hand. I'm just kidding. It's just like impossible. But the fact is, it's where our heart is. And that's what's important. Witchcraft, if you're dealing with a lot of things. And, of course, that word for witchcraft is pharmaka. And it means medication or pharmacy. It's where we get that word from. And so he's talking about magicians. Of Paul's day would use drugs. Then there's social sins of hatred, variance. Emulations is jealousy, wrath, outburst of anger. Strife carries the idea of someone who is self-seeking, wants his way all the time. Seditions is divisions. Heresies is choice, party, sect. Clique. You ever heard of cliques? About cliques? That's what this is talking about. That's the wide road, not the narrow road, okay? Envyings, carrying of grudges, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, which is boisterous or riotous living. So that's the lust of the flesh. But then there's the lust of the eyes. This is the gate that often leads to the lust of the flesh, because those things that we see, those things that we lust after and strive to get. And so, again, these two plus the pride of life. And the pride of life is talking about being braggadocious. Turn to James chapter 4 for a second. James chapter 4. So these three things are really what leads us to being in the world or on the broad way. In James, we see in chapter 4, if you can find your place there, I want you to look at verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13. The fun of sin is what we're talking about right at this point. And we see here in James chapter 4 and verse 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will." In other words, it's in the Lord's hands, not my hands, okay? "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings." That word boasting is the same word as pride in that verse in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The pride of life, that's the same Greek word meaning bragging. All such rejoicing is what? Evil. So when we think that we can make our own plans, what are we on? We're on the right, wide path. Because the narrow path is the one that God makes the choices for us. And that's where we're trying to grow into, is to really narrow our lives down to the point where we're seeking the Lord. Now, he may broaden our life and put us in a different place. And I'm not talking about the wide way, but I'm talking about just our lives living. Just because you're on the narrow road doesn't mean you can't do anything. God can give us a lot of things to do, but we want to seek him first and seek his direction for our lives. Verse 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So if there's something in your heart and your life and you know that you're supposed to do it and don't do it, what path are you on? The wide. Now, that doesn't mean this verses, these two verses, 13 and 14, are talking about salvation, a wide path and a narrow path. But can Christians emulate or be on the wide path or act like they're on the wide path? Absolutely. And that's what it's saying, is that we need to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to choose that. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." It's all about the heart. It's where your heart is. As the Bible tells us, there will your treasure be also. So again, we see that the majority chooses the way, the broad way, or the way of destruction, or the way of death, because of the fear of man, the fun of sin, and then, number three, the frailties of our nature. We are frail. I tell you, I am frail. And what I mean by that is, it's easy for me to be misdirected. It's easy for me to be misguided. You know, sometimes when you're up against contention, you don't want to be. You want to run from that and choose to just get away from that. Well, if that contention is for the cause of Christ, you shouldn't run from that. You should stand right where you're supposed to. And sometimes my frailty is going to say, I'm done with this, okay? And so the frailties of nature, the things that we want to do seem right to us. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the wide way. And again, that same warning is repeated in Proverbs 16:25. In James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God's not going to tempt you to do evil. Who's going to tempt you to do evil? It's going to be Satan. And that is it. There's no thought of that whole thing. God is never going to mislead you to go against his word. Let me say that one more time. God is never going to mislead you to go against his word. Never. Why? Because he just tempted you to do evil. And he will not do that. So if you know anything that goes against his word, you know it's not of God. Don't go say, God's blessing me. Just know that Satan is the one that's doing the temptation. It's the wide path. So he says, but every man is tempted. I'm in James chapter 1, verse 13 to 15. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So that's our frailties of nature. That's our natural inclinations. They're really directly opposite of God. The natural man does not have a desire to follow God. It's only by the word of God that we can have the faith to trust God. And when we trust God, he takes our nature and changes our nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Then we have that desire to follow God. When you have the Spirit of God in you, that is God himself. And he will give you that desire to follow him. Now, will we always do it? No. The frailties of man? Yes. I'm going to run and do my own thing? Yes. I'm going to choose my own way? Well, sometimes for sure. And the reason is, in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it says, for mine thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. 1 Corinthians 3:19 reminds us, says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You know, the thought there is that the world looks at the Bible, and that's why they took it out of schools. That's why they took it out of the public arena. Someone has suggested, I think maybe our president, that we need to put it back in the schools. I'm afraid if they do that now, it will be mocked and ridiculed by those that are teachers. And it won't have the effect that we think it will. Now, we don't know that, but I can see a teacher who believes what they believe today standing up there and saying, oh, here's what the Bible says, ha, 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 that type of thing. In other words, they're not filled with the Spirit. They're not following God. And I think that's what could happen. I don't know. God's word is never going to return void. We know that. In 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you ask why a person reads the Bible and struggles with it so often? The first thing is, you need to check if you're a Christian. That's the first thing. Now, that doesn't mean a Christian's not going to read the Bible and struggle with it. I struggle with it all the time. I sit in the office 8 hours a day and struggle with it, you know, because it's hard sometimes. There are things in there that I still don't understand, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning about where Saul is. I really don't know. I have an opinion, and that may not be the right opinion, but still, there's some things I don't know. But I also know that the Spirit of God reveals to us those things we need at the time we need them. He's not going to make you run faster and farther than you have to. He's going to take you step by step in this walk, this narrow path that he's called us to walk. And that's what he wants to do in our lives today, is to help us to do that, and he will. But the natural man, he will never understand. It will always be either above his head or nowhere, that he has no heart for the things of God. He will not care. It will be just like I thought it was when I first was approached about Bible things. They're just the opposite of what I believe. You know, live and let live. You know, that's the motto of the day, or it used to be a long time ago. I think it was a song called that or something, or had the words in it. But That's not God's plan. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, we need to seek his wisdom. The Bible tells us or teaches us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The path that he's going to direct you on is the narrow way. That is what he's going to do. And so as we continue to mature as Christians, we ought to be more narrow in maybe some of the things that we think about or do even. Why? Because we don't want peer pressure to be the one that leads us. We don't want to think that we got to have fun, some kind of fun that puts us in the place of sin. But we don't want the frailties of our own nature to cause us to fall down either. Why? Because we have the power of God in our lives. For those that are saved, you have that dunamis, that strength that only comes through Jesus Christ. And that's something you know every day, that you're walking with the Lord and he's there and he's helping you. But then also, the majority chooses the way of death or the way of destruction, the broad way, because they want to follow those that are famous. Probably a lot of you wear clothes that you wear because the society tells you that's what you're supposed to wear. You go to the store and that's all's on the rack. Why is that? Because these famous people, these people who are being led by, and I hate to say this, but it's true, Satan, are telling us what we're to do. They tell us how to live. They tell us where to go. They tell us how to respond to people. You know, our society is so wicked and so vile. There was a guy in Virginia the other day, okay? And they claimed that, now this guy, what he did was wicked and vile. I don't know if you heard about this. He's trying to make it law in Virginia that you can kill a baby after it's out of a womb, okay? If you they counsel with a woman. Now, this is all under the guise of if the baby is, you know, deformed or something. But that's always one little step. The next step is, I don't want a kid. I didn't mean to have this baby. This baby doesn't look like, I want a girl, and it's a boy. You know, it's going to come to that. It will, I promise you. Just like gay marriage. I was here years ago. It was all about civil rights. We just want civil rights. We don't want marriage. As they were lying out their teeth, that's exactly what they want. Why? Because it destroys what God has put in place. So anyway, this guy, he is wicked and he's vile. But this picture came out that at this college he went to, that he was standing there with another guy, and we don't even know which one of them it was, but one guy was dressed in the Ku Klux Klan, and one guy was painted with a black face. And they want to take, this happens in the 80s, they want to take this picture and destroy this man's career in life because of this picture. And I'm going, does that make any sense? That's godless. God requires forgiveness. If you do something in your past, which all of us have, that were offense to God, aren't you glad that God's not going to come back 10 years later and say, oh, you did this, and so you have to be rebuked or you have to be thrown out of the church or you're not coming to heaven? In a sense, that's what our society's doing. They're holding people accountable for things they did when they were in high school or college, and it's getting ridiculous, okay? And that's the way we live today. That's our society. But these people are just following the famous. They're following the idols. I mean, what took place in the 60s and 70s? It was all this sexual revolution. What do you expect these people to do if that's what you were toting and touting back then? These are the same people, by the way, that are our professors today and telling our kids what to do and how to live. And so you can see, but yet we're going to take and hang people we don't like, and we'll accept those that we do. It's just getting out of control. But there's multitudes that are led down the path of destruction. Proverbs 4, verses 14 through 18 says, enter not in the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Tell you what, following the rich and famous is not what God's plan is for us. That is the wide way. In every area that they try to lead us, in the styles that they present and put out, we need to be careful that we're not chasing those things, because they are the wide way. So, number two, sin destroys. So what do you mean, sin destroys? Well, we remember Lot. The Bible says he was a righteous man. Now, if I look at his life, again, you know, I would say, well, I don't see any righteousness in him. But again, I don't know all that he did in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, other than he lived the life and didn't do anything, because none of his family was saved, or at least acted like they were saved. Lot didn't. He was willing to give up his two daughters to these wicked men. I tell you, that's pretty bad, isn't it? But nonetheless, here was a man the Bible calls righteous, but he was following the wide way. So again, that's an illustration for us that if we're not careful, we as Christians can get off the narrow path and get on the wide path. And we're supposed to run from it. We're supposed to turn from it. We're supposed to pass it by. We're supposed to get away from it, Proverbs chapter 4 tells us. And so we know that that's the similar situation in Noah's day. In Noah's day, it repented God that he made man. Why? Because man was wicked. Everything he did. But it was only Noah that found grace in the sight of the Lord. And because of that grace, God saved Noah and his family. And we understand that. So what are we supposed to do in this life? We're supposed to, as believers, are to be the salt of the earth. That is, we're not to look like salt, but we're to be salt. See, there's a difference. I'm a Christian, but how do I live? What does my life tell us? I can look like a Christian. I can dress in this suit. I can wear this suit every day of my life and talk around. I can carry this Bible everywhere I go. And I can say, oh, yeah, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor. I might look like a pastor, but if I'm not doing the things of a pastor, I'm not what God has called us or me to do. We're called to be the salt. What does salt do? You ever got any in your finger when you had a wound or something? Boy, it stings. You know what I mean? You want to get that out as fast as you can. It just hurts. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sting in this world, because the wide way is not going to accept anything else. They need to know that Jesus is the way. They need to know that Christianity is different from the world. They need to understand that. Because today we're living in increasing darkness. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They have no idea. So that's why we have that opportunity. It's not the opportunity to cast the pearls before swine. It's the opportunity to tell people the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And that he lives on the right hand of God the Father. And he can change your life. And you need to explain all the rest of the story, of course. And they need to know that. Now, will they get saved? They have to make that choice. But we need to be really ready to give the reason of the hope that's in us, because that's our responsibility. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The more we enjoy the pleasure of sin, the darker our path will become. It's like taking and hiding our candle under a bushel. And that's talking to Christians. We are the light. And if we're not careful, sin will cause us to continually cover that up till it won't get completely snuffed out, because we're still going to, unless the Lord takes us, maybe that's snuffing out. But we're here for a purpose. And understand this, the more that you live this life, the more they're going to hate the light. John 3:20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So what is the characteristics of the way of death, or the broad way? Well, it's wide, it tells us. So that allows great diversities of philosophies, opinions, evil practices, those who travel it. It's crowded. There's a whole lot of people on there. You know, we are a society in our democracy that we want the majority to rule, right? Isn't that the way we do our government, or try to do our government? Well, Christianity's not that way. It's not the majority rules in Christianity. It's those that follow the Lord because he will exalt them. It's different from our society. It's not a vote, necessarily. It's God's leading. If we're in the will of God, God's going to lead us to do the right things. The ungodly way is the broad way. So what's the characteristics of the way of life? It's narrow. It leadeth unto life. You know, you think of math and science. You think, where do those come from? All of these scholars, they made this up. They came up with this stuff. Well, no, God made it all up. They're just figuring it out, what God has done. That's why 3 plus 2 is 5. Get that, guys? 3 plus 2 is 5. Every time, okay? It's not some other number that you can hope it is or anything else. It is 5. Why? Because God is a God of order. He leaves no room for us to change that. He is the one who put the law of nature into this earth. He's the one who measures the time and the space, and they are precise according to his way of doing it. We are not precise. We can't even get a calendar together that is precise. Did you know that your calendar changes all the time? There are hours and minutes that are added and subtracted to those things. Why? Because we don't have it all figured out yet. But God, he knows. He got it figured out. We just don't have it there yet. And so this is talking about the narrow way. You know, the narrow way is not crowded. It's not crowded. And we need to understand there, verse 14 says, few there be that find it. So the narrow path of life is trodden down by those who know how to stand alone. That's what the scriptures are doing for us. As we're on this narrow way, God is teaching us how to be able to stand on this and not be fooled by the world, not be misled by the peer pressure, not look for the fun of sin, not our frailties, our human frailties causing us to be misguided. But and it's not the rich and famous that we're following, but it's the Word of God. We're trying to seek out what it says. And let me ask you this, and you don't have to answer. The Bible was written a long time ago. There were different cultures back in the Bible back then. But does that mean that what it said is not valid today? Now, we need to study it in the light of culture. But when you study the Bible, I want you to understand that it's relevant today, even the Old Testament. Why? Because this is God's Word. And he knows the beginning, the middle of it, and he knows the end. And he gave us what we needed to live the life the narrow way. He has chose that for us, and he wants to do that for us. There are some folks who chose to do the narrow thing, and it cost them. And again, they're not perfect. Elijah was such one. He went up against a king, and he went and fought a battle. Did he do that on his own? No. Was that the narrow path? Why was that the narrow path? He was the only one. Nobody else. He had 900 guys against him. And yet, who prevailed? God did through Elijah. He used Elijah because he was willing to walk the narrow way. Now, again, Elijah's not perfect. He also ran when Jezebel told him she was going to take his life. Daniel purposed not to defile his life with the king's meat. Why did he do that? He did that because that was the wide way. It was not the way of the Jew. And he chose not to follow the wide way. He says, I'm sticking on the narrow path. How did he do that? He did it in the right way. He petitioned the king through the fellow who was overlooking those guys. And they allowed it. For 10 days, he ate the pulp. And what happened? He was fatter. I don't know what that means. But he was more healthy than the rest of them. Why? Because he chose to do it God's way. Now, I'm not telling you how to eat, okay? You seek God's wisdom in that direction. God will guide you in those things too. But Daniel was a man who purposed in himself. Paul made a decision. When he was on the road to Damascus, when he got saved, he made a decision that he was going to walk with God the rest of his life. He said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? He said, here, Lord, here's a blank check of my life. You just write in there where you want me to go, when you want me to be there, and I'm on my way because you are the Lord of my life. To live is Christ and die is gain, he said later on in his life. So this is all talking about the narrow way. It's the way of righteousness. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life. In the pathway thereof, there is no death. That is the way of life, the narrow way. It's the way of wisdom. Proverbs 4:11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right path, narrow way. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, the narrow way. Proverbs 10:17, he is in the way of life and keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth. Again, he's talking about the narrow way. It's walking in the steps that the Lord has for us. And so today, we can choose. How do we choose? Well, the first thing you have to know is that you're saved. There's been a time in your life when you understood you were a sinner, lost, on your way to hell. Yes, on your way to hell. And not only that, but deserving it. It's just admitting to God and saying, God, I'm a sinner and I deserve hell. And if you can't do that, you're never going to be saved. Because you have to understand that first, that you deserve it. And once you understand that, then it's just as God's word has, you've heard it and you understand that Jesus died for sinners and he died for you. And understanding that it's through Jesus that we can have this everlasting life, this narrow way, we just have to call on his name. Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I know that I'm not worthy of being with you, but I know that you died for me. Please save me. When you do that, you too can be on the narrow path. And then, the rest of our lives, we're going to have to make choices. And I'll tell you what, we're going to make choices and find ourselves on the wide path. What do we do when we do that? When the Word of God teaches us that we're on the wide path, what do? We go back and say, you're right, Lord. I'm getting on the narrow path. It's just confessing our sin. And when we do that, he's going to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what he wants to do in our life. And it's going to take the rest of your life, however long that is. If it's some of you, might be 90 years. Some of us, it might be only 10. But however long you got left to live, God is still going to teach us all the way to the end. Because we're still going to make the wrong decisions. We're going to still find ourselves in the way of darkness sometimes with our thoughts, with maybe somebody guiding us or misguiding us there. Can a Christian misguide a Christian? You better believe it. How do they do that? They don't teach you the Bible or what the Bible says. They teach you man's philosophy. And I'll tell you what, I got a lot of that. We all do, don't we? Because I didn't grow up with the Bible, and I'm sure a lot of you didn't either. But today I want to encourage you to get on that narrow path and stay on it. And when you don't, when you happen to find yourself in a place of a wilderness, the wanderings of Israel for 40 years, that's what happened to them. They chose the wide path because they wouldn't go where God wanted them to go. That's to cross the River Jordan and take out Canaan, right? That's what he told them to do. The spies gave the report. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That big old wide path. Let's don't wander in the wilderness. Let's walk that narrow path that God's given to us. As God leads you, you do what he says. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again. Your word is so powerful. Your word can change our hearts, change our minds, can change a person's life. At conception of salvation, you can make us into a new creature, one who was a sinner on their way to hell, but then becomes a saint with a relationship with you and on their way to that place we call heaven. And then as we walk this life, because you left us here for a purpose, and as you're trying to conform us to your image and to train us and to teach us and knock the rough edges off, help us each one to be sensitive to that we might know that we're walking with you as much as you have taught us, as much as you show us. Father, we'll thank you for that. pray these things in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. All right. Yeah, let's go ahead and sing a song, and then we'll have the piano play something else. Go ahead and stand.